May be seated. Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So there's this story of a traveling preacher. You know, all of us used to be that, traveling preachers. It's where our itinerancy comes from. It's why they move us. Because it's not supposed to be about the preacher, it's supposed to be about Jesus. And so, not that long ago in our history, travelers traveled a circuit. And they would go to several rural churches. So there's this story of this traveling preacher from way back in the day when rural pastors would go from church to church to church. And I come from the Louisiana Annual Conference, and that still happens in our rural parishes. I know a pastor who has 7 churches in their circuit. Can you imagine? So, anyway, on a Sunday morning, in order to prepare properly, they would often stay, especially in the days before modern transportation, they would stay with a lay family on Saturday night, with a local parishioner from the church where they were going to preach on Sunday morning. So this very austere, reserved, and well-versed circuit-riding preacher came to stay with a local lay family on this particular Saturday night. Well, as they settled down around the fire and the lamplight, he noticed a little girl, not more than 6 or 7, was reading. And he noticed she was reading her Bible. And the pastor says, "I've seen that you're a fine young person, dutifully going about your tasks this evening." And she said, "Why, no, Pastor. I haven't done all my tasks and chores yet. I've not even started. But I see that you're dutifully reading your Bible," said the visiting pastor, "accomplishing your daily duty and task to read each night before bedtime." She responds, "Oh, Pastor, that's not a duty. That's a delight." And the child shall lead them. You see, we often approach our worship, our prayer, our Bible reading as a checklist, as a duty, as a task. But what if we approached it with the excitement and delight of this little girl? You know, it's not just little girls that can approach worship with delight. A few years back, I served a church with a wonderful woman by the name of Miss Willa Christina. Because, you know, in the South, we have 2 names. Especially if that first name is masculine, you got to call us by our whole name so that we know. I have an aunt, Jimmy Carroll, for instance. So, anyway, Miss Willa was about to celebrate her 85th birthday. And she wasn't sure what she was going to do. She wasn't sure that, you know, she could top what she did for her 80th birthday, which was to jump out of an airplane. Miss Willa came to church each and every Sunday in a beautiful outfit and high, high heels, higher than any I would have put on, and I was nearly 40 years younger than her at the time. Everywhere she went, she just seemed to find delight in all around her, in the places, in the things, and most importantly, in the people she encountered. One day, she walks into church with a couple of casseroles and several desserts in a big box. She and the rest of us, well, suddenly had this very confused look on our face. "Miss Willa, who are those for?" "Why, it's for the potluck today," was her excited reply. "Miss Willa, that's not until next week." She started laughing. "Well, I guess I just got so excited to cook and share and come to church and fellowship that I forgot what Sunday it was. And we all had a very good laugh. And I can tell you, whether it was this Sunday or next Sunday, we had plenty of dessert for fellowship after that Sunday, two Sundays in a row. But the smile on her face, she wasn't embarrassed because of her mistake. The smile on her face showed her joy to now get to serve two Sundays in a row because she forgot what Sunday it was. Because you see, worship and fellowship and potlucks and Bible study wasn't a duty or a task. For Miss Willa, serving God and God's people was pure joy, pure delight, not just a date on a calendar and a duty to perform. It was delightful, delightful to serve a delightful God. Because you see, when our hearts are filled with the delights of God's creation, we know, we feel it, that God delights in us. God nurtures us, feeds us, body and soul. And don't get me wrong, whether or not we are in a particularly delightful mood with God, God always delights in us. But when we, in turn, delight in God, we feel God's delight in us. Our delightful God delights in God's own creation. All of us. All of us created in God's own image. And not just our physical bodies. God has created in us the spirit of love and laughter and service. God created all the beauty that is around us. And God is continuing to create in us, with us, through us, and all around us. And our God is continuing to create, creating each and every day in each and every one of us, made in the image of the Creator. Who are we not to be creative? God is not finished with us yet, is the old saying. And we can delight in that. Now, our psalm reading that Carlos read for us celebrates God, the Creator. Our Proverbs reading lets us know of God, the Spirit. You see, the blessing is our God is not just our delightful Creator, but our God manifests in us as Spirit, as Holy Spirit, something set apart from all other things. That's what the word holy means. And that Spirit also delights in us, teaching us, loving us. And that delightful Holy Spirit continues and shows up in the most unexpected places, like the butterfly that landed on every single bit of the equipment right before service today. The Greek word for this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Proverbs, is Sophia. Early translators from the Hebrew text to the Greek text use this word, this feminine word, for the Spirit, for wisdom. For it is the Holy Spirit as wisdom that guides our paths of righteousness. Now, another word used in Scripture is pneuma, meaning breath. This is the Spirit that moved across the face of the deep in Genesis. This flowing, moving pneuma is also a feminine noun. Now, in the Proverbs, some have debated whether this Sophia does indeed speak of the Holy Spirit. And some just have a problem with the person of the Trinity to be, well, identified as a woman. But it's right there. In verse 22 through 31 that Kathleen read. But we have to read also verse 12 to remind us exactly who the I is in these passages, because I have read these out of context in people who think that the I is them. No. Verse 12, let me read from the Message. Verse 12, I am Lady Wisdom. Then we jump to 22. The Lord created in me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. I'm reading from the Message. When he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bit of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle of the face of the deep, there's that pneuma. When he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I, Lady Wisdom, was beside him. Like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in this inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. Sophia, Lady Wisdom, like Logos, there with God, in God, from the beginning. And we can see parallels throughout the Old and New Testament that affirms this. Because you see, what Sophia does grant is far more than knowledge. You all, I've met a whole lot of knowledgeable fools. People who have a lot of learning, but no discernment. Something my grandfather used to call horse sense. You see, what Sophia, what Lady Wisdom grants us, what Lady Wisdom creates in us and continues to create in us is discernment. And it's not done. And it will not be done, this creating of discernment, until we breathe our last breath. And God, the Creator, and God, the Holy Spirit, Lady Wisdom, is still continuing to create, to bring continuing growth and discernment in and through us. God, our Creator, delights. God, as Wisdom and in Holy Spirit, delights. And God, as Word, as Jesus Christ, delights. Jesus. Earlier we read from John 16, where Jesus, toward the end of John's gospel, reminded us that the Spirit was not finished with us yet. But I want to go back for just a moment, how John began his gospel in the first chapter of John. This very same gospel we read earlier begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him," through Jesus. "And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light," Kathleen spoke about, "the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Jesus. Logos, the Word. Logos is the word that was used in that first chapter that we translate as Word. Logos refers to Jesus. Logos, the word. Logos, our salvation. As the 16th chapter reminded us, when we read that word logos and the word continues, the Creator's salvation work in us continues each and every day. Jesus, through God the Creator, through God the Holy Spirit, and God the very Word, continues to create in us, continues the work of salvation in us each and every day. The Creator brings creation. Spirit or Sophia or wisdom brings discernment. Word, Jesus, our Logos, brings salvation. And scholars have debated for centuries about Proverbs 8 and the use of Sophia and John and his use of Logos. They have debated which is it. Is it Logos there from the beginning or Sophia? Is it word or is it wisdom? Is it male or is it female? What if Logos is Sophia? What if word is wisdom and wisdom is word and they both are Creator? Which is it? What's the answer? This is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Because guess what? Guess what the answer is? The answer is yes. Thank you, Linda. She's paid attention when we studied Proverbs. The answer is yes. This is the mystery of the Trinity. Because guess what? That's the beauty of our holy belief in a holy Trinity. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. God is the beauty of Lady Wisdom, the Holy Spirit that moves in us. God as Creator of all humankind. God as the masculine Logos. By the way, the thee and the thy and the thou that was translated. Guess what those words are in modern history? Anybody want to guess? They and them. Plural. They and them. Jesus is the masculine. Logos is a baby boy, no doubt, born and grown into the man Jesus, Word of God in human flesh. The answer is yes. God is God. God is all of it. Blessed Trinity. And isn't that delightful? Amen. We can be assured. We can be assured of this blessed Trinity. And you don't have to understand it. My brain can't understand it. You see, because the delightful Creator delights in us, and that alone is our assurance. And I can't wrap my head around it, but I can praise to the heavens above that it is so. Would you stand as you join me in that praise? Stand as you are able, as Carlos